Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Your trainer, Melanie Cole, is here to motivate and help you perform. It's time now for Train Your Body.
Have you tried every potion, pill, powder, and food to get your metabolism up? Have you said, okay, I'm just going to do it with exercise? Oh no, I heard there are certain foods, you know, this powder is supposed to, this one's supposed to. What do you do to get your metabolism up? Because as we age, it will naturally drop just a bit. And what do you do to get it up and try and keep it there so you don't have that decline as you age? My guest is Dr. Felicia Stoller. She's a registered dietitian, exercise physiologist, and expert consultant in disease prevention. Welcome to the show, Dr. Stoller. Metabolism, what is it? How do we get it up? Really, how do we get it up? And how do we keep it there?
Well, you know, we're gonna talk about the secrets and the truth. You know, so the secret is there are no pills, potions, powders, tinctures, foods that are going to truly change your metabolism. What metabolism is basically the energy that we burn off. So it's the sum of all the calories used by our muscles, by our organs, by our tissue to actually make us be who we are. So what are some things that impact metabolism? First of all, bone mass, right? How much bone mass we have, because bones, while not a lot, are somewhat metabolically active. Same thing with fat tissue. We think of fat tissue just being, you know, for storage only. There is a little bit of calorie burning going on in fat tissue. And then most importantly, the thing that we do have probably, I'd say, among the most control over is the amount of muscle mass that we have on our body. So we have a genetically predetermined amount of muscle mass maximum that we can achieve without steroids. And that is what is so important for maintaining our fat-burning capability, right? Because that's what people are thinking about. They say, oh, I mean, granted, yes, your thyroid does impact your metabolism, but, you know, as my primary care doctor friends and gynecologist friends say to me, if they had a dollar for every time somebody was struggling with their weight and blamed, you know, their metabolism on their thyroid, they'd all be millionaires right now, because we like to just, you know, look for a really easy fix, and unfortunately, it's not. So, you know, something that I also remind people about is something called the thermic effect of feeding, which is basically the act of eating multiple times a day, which is why if you eat one big meal at the end of the day versus eating three meals, and I like to recommend that people have three meals and three snacks and eating every 2 to 3 hours, not just for maintaining blood sugar levels, but also the actual act of revving up that engine from chewing to swallowing to getting your organs, your stomach and your pancreas and everything, like enzymes, to start cooking up and start moving, and then the actual act of moving that food from your stomach through your small intestine to your large intestine and then out the other end, that all takes up calories.
And you want to, so you want to ingest foods that take up calories just by eating them, like celery burns. I heard that celery, more calories to ingest it, to eat it, than it actually contains.
Corn is another great example of that. You know, people always say, oh, corn has sugar, you shouldn't eat it. Well, no, actually you should eat it, because once you chew it, we all know, I mean, especially if you're a mom and you've, you know, dealt with little kids' diapers, you know, corn comes out the same way it comes in for the most part, that we cannot digest that waxy outer part of the corn. So therefore, that is where, you know, we are eating food that not a lot of it is actually being absorbed as calories, that it takes more. That's why we also talk about the benefits of eating a high-fiber diet, because it takes more energy to move the food from your mouth out your rectum. So, you know, that act of moving that food around causes us to burn calories. But what happens is, as we age, we slow down, maybe we change our exercise a little bit, and we get into more gentle exercises versus more strenuous exercise. And when you look at decreases in muscle mass with men and women as they age, you know, that's why metabolism slows down. It's not that you get older, it's that maybe you have less muscle mass than you had when you were younger, and you have to work a little bit harder at maintaining the bare minimum, let alone building more.
Now, I've heard, Dr. Stoller, that one tip to getting your metabolism up is also drinking very cold water, because the thermogenesis required in getting that water heated up to body temperature so your body can ingest it. Is there any truth to drinking very cold water?
I have not seen the science on that. I know for some people you can't get super cold water past your teeth, so I just would advocate drinking water, but certainly cold water does help to cool you down from the inside out. So there has to be some value in, you know, that thermogenesis that is going on.
Now, what about spicy food? Because they say that's another sort of metabolic boosting.
Right. Well, so the question is, this came up with recently in another interview, is whether the spicy food actually revs up your metabolism. Does it cause you to possibly get a little hotter on the inside out? Some people notice when they eat spicy food, they perspire, right? They get like, you know, they'll eat some spicy wings and like they've got this, like, or some really spicy Indian food, and they've got like, you know, sweat all over their face. What we do know is that it does cause some reactions in the body, like increasing perspiration for some people. For some people, it also causes them to eat less food because they can't tolerate it. And you know, perhaps it may also reduce eating because maybe, you know, your oral cavity is a little bit on fire. So maybe you're going to be eating less and maybe drinking more beverages with that. And hopefully those beverages are going to be water. But like green tea, for example, I know that that's something that, you know, people look at whether or not green tea itself is, you know, and the components of it are actually speeding up your metabolism. It's, you know, it's very hard to quantify that. You know, there's lots of, you know, products that promise to speed up your metabolism, but as one of my professors in graduate school said, we can't find a pill to replace, you know, the way the anatomy and physiology of the body functions. And really what impacts metabolism is definitely biologically active tissue.
Okay, so biologically active tissue. Let's make a list, Dr. Stoller, here. So we've talked about spicy food as a way to sort of get that going. Water. We've talked about bone density and the fact
high
that
fiber, high fiber.
High fiber. Getting, you know, muscle mass, because muscle really does keep your metabolism up. It burns fat even while you're just sleeping if you have good muscle mass. We've
right.
talked about, you know, what else? So let's
green tea. With the muscle mass thing, because a lot of times when people are trying to lose weight, they just want to do cardio, 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 and they don't realize they need to do strength training. And so usually when I find somebody that says, hey, I'm sort of stuck, I'm not seeing big results, I always say, well, what are you doing for exercise? And then we usually find out that, you know, they have not been doing resistance exercise. People think, oh, I need to wait till I lose more weight until I can do that. And the truth is you can't do that. I mean, muscle doesn't just change from, you know, or fat doesn't just change to muscle, and muscle doesn't change to fat. Okay, so muscle tissue is a unique tissue in the body, and we need to increase that. When you decrease fat stores, you see more of your muscle mass.
Okay, now what about things like foods like fish? Fish oils, do they help? Because, you know, there's all these things out there that people hear about, and they want to know if these things really work or not.
So this is what works with fish, and what we find when we eat foods that have what I call mixed macronutrients. So foods that are going to have a little carbohydrate, a little protein, and a little fat with them. So when we eat meals that have fat, it tends to slow us down, so hopefully we're not over-consuming it. So fish, for example, the beneficial properties of fish are not just that it's a source of protein, but that it has essential fatty acids, which are the fish oils in the food. You know, you can make the argument that, you know, you can eat meat, right? There's a benefit of consuming meats of your choice, but we want to tend to eat the leaner cuts of meat. So fat and protein slow down digestion, so it takes us longer to digest the foods that we're eating, whereas if I just ate a bowl of pasta, maybe nothing but some marinara on it, I'm going to eat that really quickly. There's not going to be much to really slow that down if I'm not having a higher fiber pasta. So you know, I could possibly eat more. You know, that's what people talk about when they eat like too much breakfast cereal. That's a low fiber breakfast cereal. You eat a huge bowl of cereal and then you're hungry, you know, 20 minutes later.
So these are the foods and the ways to get your metabolism up. Listen to the show if you missed any of the great ideas. Write it down. Share it with your friends. You know, like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Your Radio MD and find out how you can boost your metabolism right here on Radio MD. This is Melanie Cole. Stay well.